This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your hosts, Jim and Tom. However, this week is a solo mission because Tom is on a much needed and much deserved family vacation, and he's not here. So the show must go on. So here we are with a short episode, probably, but this episode was meant to be our WandaVision episode 1 and 2 review. However, with Tom being away and this being the biggest show to begin 2021, I didn't want to talk about WandaVision without him. He does have some crazy awesome theories that I really want to break down more into an episode. But if you want to hear what I think about WandaVision before I talk about it with Tom, you can check out WandaWatch over at the Active Geek podcast. And WandaWatch is our first kind of after show that we've done. And Chuck and I had a chance to break down the first 2 episodes and point out a ton of Easter eggs that I found and a bunch of Tim Boyle hat theories that I also came up with in regards to those Easter eggs. So check that out at your leisure. So that brings us to this week's episode, which again is going to probably be short. It's a review. It's a one-man review. So I don't know how long this is going to be. It could be like 15 minutes, but I wanted to get an episode out there. So our listeners didn't go a week without hearing us. I promise no delays and no hiatuses, and I don't want to miss a week. So here we are. This episode is going to be a review of the 4th and final season of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So if you haven't watched the final season of Sabrina, be prepared to enter spoiler territory. Now, if you've been watching Sabrina, you know that the common theme besides witchcraft is wars. Each season there's a war. The Coven has been at war with Father Blackwood, Lucifer, and all his demons of hell, pagans, and now they're at war with the Eldritch Terrors. At the end of season 3, we see Faustus Blackwood, Agatha, who has been crazy. She's just lost her mind after killing Dorcas, and Judas and Judith preparing for the war that they will be bringing on to Greendale. And that's exactly what they bring. They bring in the Eldritch Terrors, which are the villain of the week, per se, with each episode, and I'll talk about that in a little bit more. But episode number 1 is the first Eldritch Terror, which is the Dark. And the Dark take form of a group of miners, which makes sense given the town's revolves around the mine. And these miners were victims of a gruesome and crazy mine explosion that led to their deaths. And the Dark's purpose is to bring everyone into total darkness and feed on their fears and weaknesses. This was a clean opening for a long-awaited season as far as I'm concerned. I like this episode. It's not my favorite. It's not my least favorite, but this was a very good opening. The complaints I have are more of like, it kind of went teeny boppy for me. And I understand that this is meant to be a teenage, like a YA show, a dark YA show, but it was a little too teeny boppy for me in regards to like the Fright Club falling in love and Theo and Robin and Roz and Harvey. And then Sabrina's left on her own and she's got to date everybody. And now episode 2 introduced us to the Uninvited. The Uninvited takes form of a drifter who shows up to people's doors seeking food and shelter. The costume, the makeup on the Uninvited was phenomenal. It was fantastic. It was the best part of this episode. At one point, a woman refuses to invite the Uninvited in, and he rips her heart out, which may be the darkest scene of this season and maybe even the series. Completely rips its heart out to show you exactly how heartless the Uninvited is. Eventually, the Uninvited is welcomed by Roz and Harvey. Roz tries to use her cunning to see what's going on. This leads to the Uninvited leaving, but Roz passing her visions to Harvey through sex, which was never fully explained at the end of the season. So that was kind of a loose string that never got tied up. But later, the Uninvited becomes rejected by Nick and Sabrina at Hilda and Dr. Cerberus's wedding, leading to a trip to hell where Sabrina Morningstar is getting married to Caliban and Sabrina Spellman is going to marry the Uninvited in order to trick him into staying in this little alternate universe, which is a dollhouse. This was another cool episode. The Uninvited stole the show. There's an Easter egg at the end that I'll talk about at the end of this episode. And that brings us to And that brings us to episode 3, The Weird. The Weird is an octopus-type being which implants itself into Sabrina's brain and takes over her consciousness. And The Weird's role is to have Sabrina turn into a sea monster herself. This was cool. It was, I don't know what I want to say about this one. This one was cool. It introduced another character who you thought was The Weird, and it was a character that fell in love with Sabrina immediately, and then it turned out it wasn't The Weird, and then they had to kill him, and then he came back, and then he got transferred to Riverdale. This was a heavy Ambrose episode, which is always great. Ambrose is one of my favorite characters and has been one of my favorite characters of this series, so any chance of getting more Ambrose was phenomenal. This, again, wasn't my favorite episode. It wasn't my least favorite episode, but it's pretty far on the bottom of my least favorite episodes. Episode 4 was The Perverse, which is a great episode. The Perverse comes in the form of an imp statue that grants wishes and warps reality. This kind of started like a Twilight Zone episode. A traveling trinket salesman comes into the church that Father Blackwood, Mrs. Wardwell, and Agatha have all been praising, and offers to sell these trinkets, Pandora's box, other trinkets, and Blackwood only wants the Perverse, because the Perverse is the, or well, he wants the imp of the Perverse, which is the fourth Eldritch Terror. So this episode, he gets the imp, he makes his little Buddha wish, rubs the belly, and says, "I want to be in control." And this episode is centered, on a world where Blackwood is a leader of Greendale. And it's reminiscent of Hitler's vision for his ideal world. There's a lot of, like, Harvey and all the boys are, like, very Hitler youth. Prudence is a leader in Blackwood's army. Agatha and Dorcas are part of this as well. So there's a lot going on in this episode. The only thing that stays the same is that Roz and Sabrina are the same people, just in a warped reality. And even, again, this is another really good Ambrose episode where he leaves Greendale and he sees the traveling salesman and he's like, "Listen, you have this little orb. This will take you in there for like 30 seconds. And that's when Robin comes in. This is like a MVP moment for Robin, maybe his most impactful scene in the entire series. He comes in and says, "I'm going to take you in there because I'm super fast." And Ambrose kind of saves the day and tells Sabrina how to do everything. And Blackwood's main objective is to eradicate witches from Greendale, and there's some cool scenes where he's about to behead them, and very Joan of Arc meets Hitler youth. It's very very weird amalgam, but it worked in this episode. And this episode has so many twists and turns, which eventually leads to the Fright Club saving the day and Prudence beheading Blackwood, which was very cool. There's a heel turn, or there's a face turn in this if you're a wrestling fan. Harvey turns face as he goes from Hitler youth to being back to the Fright Club and saves the day. And that brings us to episode number 5, which is The Cosmic. The Cosmic Terror comes in the form of an angel who's played by Pollyanna McIntosh, and she's from The Walking Dead. She was the leader of the dump colony, so she was there. The angel warns the coven of Hecate that the three planes, the heaven plane, the kind of like the Midgard plane, and the nether realms are going to merge, and they're going to absorb each other. Hell's rising on Earth, heaven's rising, descending on Earth. So there's a lot going on, and another universe is coming to take over. And it kind of gave me DC Comics Convergence vibes, where the multiverse was shrinking and everything's kind of rebuilding and turning into one. So that happened. It wasn't, again, this one, a good episode, but The Cosmic, as far as a terror, was pretty lackluster. You really just don't. It's just a threat, and then they have to send Sabrina Spellman. No, they have to send Sabrina Morningstar into an alternate reality to save this reality. So there's a, if you haven't been following the series, you have to remember that there's two Sabrinas. There's Sabrina Spellman, our lead character, who is Earth One Sabrina. And then there's Sabrina Morningstar, who is now the ruler of Hell. So she's the Hellscape version of Sabrina. And they've kind of broke the treaty and the rules by meeting each other and hanging out and going on dates with each other and having house parties with each other, and that kind of screwed everything up. And one Sabrina had to die, or two of them had to die, in order to save the world. So they went and said, "Well, let's put Sabrina Morningstar in another realm, and Sabrina Spellman can stay on Earth One, essentially, and try and save from the cosmic, which brings us to the sixth episode, which is The Returned. And The Return comes in the form of all the long-dead loved ones are returning to the world of the living. So you got Vinegar Tom, who is a beagle, Zelda's beagle. He comes back, heartbreaking scene at the end where they have to give away. Like, he has to, like, they shut the door on him and he runs away and you know he's dead. The real enemy of this episode is the returning punk band called Satanic Panic, who kidnapped Harvey's dad, who snitched on them because they made a deal with Lucifer in order to get this, like, huge rock career. And then they were killed. And Satanic Panic have to have a hellish battle of the bands, who is centered by the ringmaster of Lucifer, alongside the Fright Club and Sabrina's new band, who comes out of nowhere with, like, Prudence and Nick. And what a weird episode this was. They play, like, old, I think Sweet Child of Mine was in it. That was one of their songs that they covered. And they have to do this to send the Returned back to hell or heaven or wherever they came from. This is my least favorite episode, and it tends to be in any show where it becomes a musical. I'm not a big musical fan. If you listen to any of the podcasts that I'm on, you know that the Superman or the Supergirl and Flash crossover with Mr. Miss Pislick, a Glee-type episode, was my least favorite, and this was my least favorite on this one. The set was cool. The story was cool. The terror was cool. I love when the zombies come. Not zombies. I love when the dead return. And, you know, you have Dr. Cerberus's mom coming back. And Hilda already pissed her off. So she's like, I'm going to kill you. Like, I've killed all of his exes. So that was cool. But it wasn't my favorite episode. And that brings us to episode number 7, which is called The Endless. And The Endless is a super meta episode. As Sabrina Morningstar, who was sent to an alternate reality to save the world from the cosmic, winds up as an actor on The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So all the old season episodes are like callbacks. She remembers them as real life, but they're callbacks and just episodes as this world exists as a TV show where Salem is the Eldritch Terror. He is the Endless, and it's Salem from the Sabrina the Teenage Witch series, where he's like the lead star and he depicts everything, and there's the green room where you can go, and that's where Ambrose just chops up all the rejected actors and feeds them to the cast, which is pretty awesome. But besides being meta, this episode was super different from everything else because they actually went behind the scenes and shot this episode. You know, you see their soundstage and you see their actual props and their sets, and this episode kind of reminds me of like the perfect quarantine episode, because they couldn't go out and shoot anywhere. So they shot on their soundstage and they just showed everything and they centered that whole story around what they were able to shoot. So I thought that was cool. But the best part of this episode was the original Hilda and Zelda from the Melissa Joan Hart series came back and reprised their roles. And we knew that was coming, but to actually see it, it was very cool to see Beth Broderick and Caroline Ray come back. It was really cool. As somebody who watched the Melissa Joan Hart series way back in the 90s, early 2000s, I was a big fan of that. So I was excited to see those two come back. And also like the character play between the old Hilda and Zelda and the current Hilda and Zelda was pretty cool, as the current Hilda and Zeldas were the stand-ins for the old Hilda and Zeldas, which was pretty cool. And this episode teases the upcoming Eldritch Terror, which was The Void, which is the finale. This is an 8-episode arc, and The Void is the end of all things. This is the big bad. This is what everybody was running from. And it's pretty fitting that it arrives in the last episode of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. The Void is just a room filled with the universe and everything in it, and also nothing in it, which is weird. It's just a white room with a bunch of like dioramas. In order to defeat the Void, Sabrina has to sacrifice herself. This episode is probably the runner-up for my least favorite episode. I get that Sabrina had to sacrifice herself, but if that was the true endgame, then why wouldn't they just keep Sabrina Morningstar on the regular reality and still have at least one Sabrina survive? This goes to like my list of complaints, which we'll get to, but this episode, it was super rushed. This episode, you get to the point where you're like, Sabrina, you got to be super strong, and you have to go in there and defeat the Void with Pandora's box and it's cool when they bring in Pandora's box because you hear that as a child, you hear that as a cliche, you know, you don't know what's going to happen when you open Pandora's box and blah, blah, blah. But she goes in there and, you know, they're bloodletting her and you're thinking, or at least I'm thinking at the end, they're like, they're going to have like 1 second on the clock and they're going to save her. But no, like she's straight up dead. She's there. No more Sabrina. And you go to like the nether realm or wherever she's at, purgatory at this point, or just in the void. And Nick shows up and you're like, oh my God, you knew they were going to get together. And he's like, I went swimming in the sea of sadness and or sea of sorrow. And here we are. And Nick sacrifices himself to go with Sabrina. So they were your Eldritch Terrors. They were the Eldritch Terrors that, you know, again, Monster of the Week. Every episode was centered around one Eldritch Terror. And it felt like an old, like, kind of felt like a live-action Scooby-Doo for a little bit, where the Fright Club had to go out there and save the day. And I think there was, or maybe I'm getting my shows wrong, but I think there was an episode where one of the lines was, I would have got away with it if it weren't for those stupid kids. And I'm pretty damn sure that happened in this season. So very reminiscent of Scooby-Doo. All right, so let's move into some of the things that I did like. The first thing is that my favorite characters continue to be my favorite characters. I mentioned this before, but Richard Coyle, who plays Father Blackwood, continued to be a great villain and played a great foe for all four seasons. He was truly evil. You hated him when he was on the screen, but he was phenomenal as an actor. Tatiana Gabrielle, who plays Prudence, was also great in the series and season. At some points, it felt like she was the lead and Kiernan Shipka took the back seat to her acting. Even when she was the heel, she was fantastic. Like I mentioned in the Perverse episode, she was the hand of Father Blackwood and she was still great. And you're like, oh, I need more of this. And the way that her and Father Blackwood played against each other as the seasons evolved and progressed, you really, really liked that. Like at one point, I know I wanted a series where, like a spinoff series, where it was the adventures of Prudence and Ambrose when they were going out to find Father Blackwood in time. We'll never get that, but it is what it is. But I think they were fantastic in this. And then Chance Perdomo, who plays Ambrose, is just a phenomenal actor. He steals the scene every time he's in it. And in my mind, this guy is poised for great things. Like, get him in Marvel, get him in Star Wars, get him on something because he's a phenomenal actor. And I hope he gets more castings after this. I also like the callbacks. I talked about it before. Mainly Beth Broderick and Caroline Ray reprising their role. I was really hoping for Melissa Joan Hart to show up at some point, maybe like in Hell as a demon or like a future first version of Kiernan Shipka's Sabrina, but we never got that. And I think the biggest callback for me that I was looking forward to was the comic accurate Sabrina look from Archie Comics. We saw at the end of episode 2 when Dr. Cerberus and Hilda actually get married. She's in like the white sweater. She has the blonde wig, and I was like, ah, there we go. That's comic accurate. I thought that was great. And then finally, I guess the last thing that I liked was that even though Sabrina sacrificed herself, and I did not like that, she didn't have to be alone as Nick took a swim in the sea of sadness or sorrow. I can't remember, like I said earlier. And he died to be with Sabrina. It was a very satanic Romeo and Juliet ending. So I think justice was kind of served there as far as it goes. Now, the things that I disliked this season also had to do with the things I disliked in seasons 1 through 3. I hated how the show wrote the younger characters. The leads, Roz, Theo, Harvey, and even Sabrina. Sabrina, in the first maybe two seasons, was meant and written as the lead and was written the worst, in my opinion. In seasons 1 through 3, she's this fierce, powerful young woman, but in season 4... She's love struck. She's nobody without a boyfriend. And then she constantly needs help. So I don't know how she is getting more advanced in her magic and her witchcraft. She's getting more advanced in her witchcraft and learning more about her coven and becoming more of a badass witch, if you will. And she's degressing as a character. I didn't like that at all. This might come with age, but whenever Roz, Theo, Harvey, and Robin were on the screen, I felt like it was just filler, which is a shame for the actors because Ross Lynch is great. Everybody else is great. I think that the characters that were meant to be supporting roles outshine the leads. Characters like Miss Warwell, who was like MVP of this entire series. She was fantastic. Caliban, every time he was on screen, it worked, as opposed to Harvey or even Nick. Hilda and Zelda were great in every role, every time that they were on the screen. And they're not leads. I mean, this is meant to be centered around the Fright Club. That's your leads. And, you know, I already talked about Richard Coyle and Tatiana Gabriel and Gabrielle and Chance Perdomo. So I think that the supporting roles kind of outshined the leads. I will say another thing that I did like, or I didn't like, is when the uninvited killed Dorian. I didn't like that because I thought Dorian was a great character, but I also liked the fact that he was immortal and he got killed. So I thought that was pretty cool. Overall, I think the season was good, but it wasn't great. For it being a final season for a popular series, I felt it was too ambitious and it really felt rushed. There was too much focus on the background characters and their storylines, which took away from the main story, which I've already said. And then this is a season that could have benefited from two or three more episodes, which is completely different from anything else that I say that I watch on Netflix, especially the Marvel Netflix shows. I felt that they added some filler into their series, mainly Iron Fist, but Sabrina could have benefited from the 10 to 12 episode run, especially for the final season, because I don't really think we spent a lot of time with each Eldritch Terror. If these are supposed to be like ungodly, you know, end of the world kind of terrors, 45 minutes isn't enough to spend with them. I feel like, you know, you're underplaying how important these are to the scheme of things. The Void could have been a two episode kind of arc instead of just being the, whoop, it's a room and you got a bloodlet and then you're dead. But that's just me. As a series overall, I really liked The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and I was pretty bummed when I heard that it was being canceled. I had hopes for a possible Riverdale crossover. I think I've said that on every podcast. Anytime I can get in front of a microphone in regards to Sabrina, I've talked about it. But since I wanted that Riverdale crossover, since they were in the same universe, and they've mentioned Riverdale in every single season, almost every episode. If they did the crossover, I was really hoping for that crossover to surround the Jughead storyline called The Hunger, which would have been perfect for Sabrina and her crew to show up and deal with this like lycanthropy going on around Riverdale where Jughead turns into a werewolf. I thought that would have been pretty cool. Even just like a Halloween special would have been great. But Sabrina's dead, so that'll never happen. Now, this story, Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, seasons 1 through 4, was meant to be carried over into comic form. But I don't know how they would carry it over since Sabrina's dead. Again, I don't know where they're going to go with this. You know, you killed your main character, but saying, hold on, fans, we're going to give you a comic book series after that to kind of boost the sales of Archie Comics. Maybe, just maybe, the series will focus on the Coven trying to bring her back from the beyond despite repercussions. Like, they've dealt with repercussions before, or maybe they could bring in Sabrina Morningstar from the alternate universe. Who knows? Either way, I'm going to keep my eye out for the next chapter of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and I'll report on it when they happen. If it happens, you know, they might have just scrapped that whole plan. I haven't seen anything about it, so we'll have to see. So, my rating for season 4 of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to give it a 3.5. For the reasons that I've already mentioned. If you rush the season finale or series finale, if you rush the series finale, you're going to lose points with me, and I totally think that they rushed it. As far as the series go, I'm going to give it a 4.5 overall. And I definitely recommend it to people who were on the fence on whether to watch it or not. So if you have time, check it out. Season 3, probably my favorite, dives into more of the pagan mythos. The depiction of hell was awesome. The introduction of Caliban was great. Beelzebub's always great. I thought that that was pretty awesome. A lot of people don't like season 3, but I was a big fan of season 3. And that kind of brings us to the end of the episode. So check out Sabrina. Season 3, again, is my favorite, but check it out. But that's it for our episode. I hope you sat along and listened to this 20-25 minute mini episode that we have here, but I'll be back next week with a new episode, and maybe I'll be joined by Tom depending on his return date. Haven't really heard about that yet, so we'll go from there. So follow us on social media, Galaxy Wars Podcast on Instagram, The Grays on Twitter. Support the network by listening to the Active Geek Podcast every Wednesday and our Wanda Watch episodes every Saturday. I'm having a lot of fun with that Wanda Watch episode. I'm really hoping you guys check that out. If you're a fan of WandaVision and you want to go down some rabbit holes, definitely give that a check, give that a look, or give that a listen. But again, that's it. We'll be back next week with a great new episode. Here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.